Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour Radio. I am your host, Stefan Brigati, and thank you for spending your Thursday evening with me. You know, over the years, I've done multiple segments of different aspects of the paranormal. And it's funny because I'm always saying paranormal, but in reality, a lot of the things that we talk about on the show every week, I consider to be absolutely normal. There's nothing subnormal or about these things because we've gone on long enough to know that they are normal parts of everyday life. In this segment, I wanted to bring on somebody who might be able to talk to us a little bit more about the psychic side. Today on the show, my guest is going to be Bobby Allison, who's a well-known medium psychic. And has been doing quite a bit of work out there over the years. Global recognition, of course, doing cases and helping be involved, you know. And one of the things that we've talked about over the past few years are those psychics who get involved with law enforcement and even helping with private investigations, which I think is fantastic. We know that the police force and other agencies, government-related, have played with the idea going back and forth, especially when they're coming to cold cases. You know, they're looking for any opening that might suggest something. And we see the trend nowadays of them going right for the psychics. The people that work on my team have been involved with cases and stuff as well. So I really enjoy seeing that opportunity opening up and being a useful tool nowadays to help solve unsolved crimes and, you know, unfortunately, murders and all that stuff that happened. And in addition to that, being able to work with those spirits and try to find the answers and get the closing that they need because of the traumatic events that happen that kind of hold them back. So it's great to see all this encompassing coming together. So I don't want to waste any more time. I want to go ahead and bring her on the show and talk a little bit about what she's been doing and the direction that she wants to. Like I said, Bobby's very well known, been on many television shows, including Dr. Oz and Oprah. So this is a great honor for us to have her on the show. So let's go right into the green room and go ahead and bring her in. So hold on 1 second here. Hi, Bobby. Is this you?
Yes, it is. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thanks. I wasn't sure which number you were calling in on, and there's a few of them there. There are people who are outside listening in to the show, of course, and I got lucky and picked the right one. So thank you for spending some time with us, and I know it's late on your side, so thanks for hanging out with us a little bit later tonight.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
Great. So I was just telling people about, you know, I've had several psychic mediums on the show, and we're seeing a lot of them being used for the law enforcement and for investigations and to help with those cold cases. We see a lot more of that happening. And I know you're one of the people that has been involved with that quite a bit. But before we get into that, I wanted to kind of let the listeners know about, what you were going through in the beginning, maybe as a child growing up and discovering your talents and the gifts you have. You know, what were the things that you were going through on your finding?
As a child, it was quite challenging because as a child, you don't really know that you're psychic. You just think that that's part of everybody's life until you start finding out that you're different when you get to like around 11 or 12 and people are starting to say, why do you tell us everything? Like, we're not going to hang out with you, or you could stay home because you always tell us what's going to happen. And they start to call you Mother Hen, and they start to like not want to hang out with you because, and then I'm thinking like, what are they talking about? Like, it didn't click until maybe like middle teenage years, where like I would be driving home on the bus as a little kid and I'd know who was going to be at the house. I would know who's the phone's going to ring, who's going to be on it. And it's like things like that. And then you start to think like, wow, like not these other kids don't understand this. Like they don't get the same thing. So then you feel like you're like, you know, to the side, and you're not like everyone else. You're like the odd girl out, let's say. And it got quite interesting around maybe 13 or 14 when all the girls started hanging out together, and then the panic attacks started bad, like in school, going to certain restaurants, like where if the particular restaurant I was in or the mall I was hanging out with had a lot of spirit in it, my heart would pound so bad, and then the anxiety along with that was not good. I would run through the fields to get home and put my head under the pillow and just not know what it was. So, you know, I had so many struggles through life with this, with the anxiety. It was horrific, and it really handicapped me to stay home a lot because I did not like to be around certain places. It would happen more times in certain classrooms than others and certain places that I went with my friends. So I was kind of like shunned a little bit because of it.
Oh, wow. That's sad and very unfortunate. But, you know, then again, they don't understand what's happening. So all children are afraid of what they don't understand, of course.
Well, yeah, because you don't understand it. But then
me personally, I was growing up as a kid, and I saw them, spirits, all that stuff. I didn't know, like you're saying, you're a kid. You don't know that you're not supposed to be seeing this, or not everyone sees it. I thought everyone saw the same thing. It was just part of everyday life. And then so I got older, and I became the weird kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I still had friends and stuff, but I was always that weird kid who's into the ghosts and stuff like that. He's weird because he's in that stuff. But I think times are changing a little bit now, but it was kind of hard growing up as a kid. I'm sure you must have had that. But the panic attacks I've never had like that. That's pretty intense. That means you're bringing in – you're being affected by a certain large amount of energy that most people aren't being affected at. So that's got to be kind of shocking.
Yeah, that was kind of, but I didn't know what it was. Like I said, I just thought I was having anxiety attacks. So I went to all sorts of different doctors. They did all these tests on me, and they always found nothing wrong. And they was like, well, maybe you need to go to a psychologist. And then I was like, why? Like, I didn't know how that fit in with each other, but it was always like, if they didn't know what it was, well, maybe you need to go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So I was at the school, you know, counselor. I tried everything, and to no avail. And then I mean, even into my adulthood, I was always attracted to psychics. My mom used to dabble in like readings with the neighborhood ladies when it was like very secretive back then. And I was so afraid when she would tell me, when she would come home and go, oh, I had a reading and this and this and this. And I'm like, oh, don't tell me that. That's witchcraft. Like, I didn't know what to call it. I was so afraid of it, but yet as I got older, I was so attracted to all psychic readings and all things, but I could never tell anybody because it was taboo back then, you know. And as I got older, it got easier to maybe understand who I was once I went to a healing, a person that did healing, and then it made more sense to me. And I raised my vibration, the anxiety kind of dissipated, and I allowed spirit to talk to me, and it was like just another level. Psychic I've always been, but the mediumship came in really, really heavy around 9/11, maybe like a year before that when I started doing automatic writing. So then things for me took a whole turn when I was able to manipulate my energy and raise my vibration through meditation and allow them to touch my energy and then, of course, channel them. And once I started channeling them and, you know, always protecting myself in the light, then I felt normal. I mean, if you know, for me, it felt normal to me. I felt calm. I felt this is the right thing to do. But it took me a long time to get there.
Absolutely. And that's a huge thing. You know, a lot of people think, you know, you're just psychic medium and you flip the switch on and away you go.
Ooh.
But talking about the meditation and the channeling and the focusing of the energy, not just being a flashlight, just going in every direction, but to control those energies and fine tune that stuff. That's years of
mm-hmm.
practice and dedication. So I think people out there need to realize that. And they're like, well, people go to meditation classes. Like, what are you doing? Just sitting there being quiet? It's, no, you're like you're saying, you're raising that level of vibration. You're becoming
mm-hmm.
one with all the energies around you, focusing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people out there need to understand that's kind of how it is. You're born with these gifts, and then you learn how to utilize them.
You have to raise your vibration. Yes, you have to kind of like meet them halfway, because for them to come all the way down, especially if you're at a low vibration, and I had a lot of horrific things happen to me as a child, and I'm grateful for that now because I'm able to read people as soon as they walk through the door. I know who's been abused. I know who was homeless. I know who, you know, suffered in different types of families, and it's because of what I went through, and that's not why I bring it up. I bring it up because when your energies of your loved ones come through, if your vibration is lower, it's more work for them to come down and to contact you because it's like going through the negative, let's say, and you always have to stay in the light, and you always have to stay positive and raise that vibration. I always tell everybody, your vibe is your tribe. Whatever you vibe out to, that's what you're going to attract. So you have to kind of stay in the white light of the omnipresence, God, Jehovah, whatever it is that you believe in, or you label that light that's more powerful than yourself. And I think that it really takes a lot of training to learn this other language. It's not like, you know, people see on TV like ghosts that they're sitting there talking in your ear. It's all, I call it like charades. And you have to, you know, you have symbols for things and different signs for different things. And it's a whole different language. I call it the language of love. And when spirits give me that, or my
right.
guides or someone else's guides, it's a whole, you know, thing. It's a whole different chapter of your life that you have to learn. And once you perfect it, but it always changes. How about I'll say this? You just get it down. You think this is what it's going to be, this language, but they're always teaching you every day. You know, your astral travel, they're teaching you different signs, or maybe you graduated and your guides are now switching out and it's going to be different types of guides because you're doing different work. Like cold cases, then everything changed. You know, when I started doing cold cases, you know, then different symbology and different people that you meet throughout life, they show you, like, this person may be connected to this, or they want you to say that person's name, or how this person's family passed. So there's different, you know, symbols and signs, and it's constantly changing. The energy is really what's important, because you have to save your energy so that you can give out more. So you have to think about yourself first, and that was very hard for me to do. It was always everybody else was first. So, you know, we come into this world and we learn all of these different lessons, but sometimes we hold on to the energy, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, and we don't know how to release it and let it go. And it's very important when you're going to be a channel for, or the vehicle, I should say, or the vessel for the other side, that you be clear and conscious of, you know, what you're taking in and what you're letting go. It's very important to release and let go, and don't be the victim to that energy, but be the survivor of it. So it's a balancing act. It's an act, you know, you have to balance everything. The scales of justice, so to speak.
Yeah, I totally understand that and agree with that. And just walking into certain locations, you know, in the paranormal field, we kind of go in blindly hoping to experience something, but we go into these different areas and there's different types of energy and we're all being affected by it. And like you're saying, I've been on cases before where I've walked into and they have a lot of crystals and a lot of things going on there. And it's just everything's just kind of absorbing my energy and I'm just giving and giving and giving. And a lot of people will just keep going if they can't give anymore and then they got to get out of there. But it's all about conserving that energy, you know, trying to be able to refocus that energy, save that energy. And, of course, when you're leaving a location, letting that energy go. Don't bring it with you because it'll just keep clinging to you and you gotta start fresh. And a lot of that way is the same for you guys when you guys are doing readings and stuff. You're bringing in some of that energy. You're making that connection. And you have to be able to let some of that go at the same time or it'll just keep wearing you down. Is that not correct?
Well, I think like a lot of people when they first start out, like myself, you don't realize that you can command them, like go with your people that you came with. Don't stay with me. Like sometimes they'll come in early if I'm going to do a group or a big charity event or whatever it is I'm doing, and they'll start talking to me in the shower or, because the water is the conduit to energy. Why, I don't know, but it is. If you're vacuuming or if you're doing the dishes and you're doing that mindless task, they'll definitely try to, you know, contact you. And I'm thinking, no, you're going to wait until later. You have to learn through life how to command it and how to demand it and say, you know what, this is my space and we have boundaries. So you have to establish boundaries with spirit so that they don't take advantage of your energy because there really is no time on the other side. So they'll just try to come in whenever they want and give you messages. And sometimes they'll stay with you afterwards. So when I get in the car after I leave a big event, I'll blast my music and just not even pay attention to them. Like, I don't want to hear it. I'm done. I'm closed down. So you have to establish these boundaries. It's not really like sending them away at times. It's more like tuning in and tuning out. Just like people ask me this question quite often, and it's if you're sitting watching TV, okay, you're doing a mind task. But if you're doing dishes, it's a mindless task. So in the other room, if the TV's on and there's kids playing or whatever's going on in the other room and you're just doing dishes, which is a mindless task, we often go into the zone. So you can tune in and tune out. So sometimes, you know, like when you could hear company in the other room and the kids, and then sometimes you just tone everything out or you zone out. So that's what it is. It's tuning in and tuning out. It's not really sending them away. They're always there. You can tap in. If you're a medium, you could tap in any single time. But do you want to do that? Do you want to be open and give your energy to that always? No, because you've got to conserve it. So when we read, the energy goes up and down the spine. And it's the same as if when you pray, they want you, when you're in church and you pull down the, I can never get my words out, when you kneel to pray, you want your back aligned. When you meditate, they have you sit straight up with your legs crossed, with your hands up. So everything is about the spine. That's where everything comes in. And I don't think people realize that, but I read it in many books. And when I see it in my mind, when they show me align your spine, sit straight, and the energy flows through. If you notice, like a lot of mediums will get back issues, back problems, spine issues, because that's where the energy goes. And sometimes I think it gets stuck. And so that's why the cleansing is very important for anybody, especially you. You go into these places that have all this, you know, energy stuck in different corners and whatnot. So you need to kind of cleanse yourself, bring in the white light of the Holy Spirit or whatever it is that you believe in and cleanse and throw everything from the top of your crown chakra down to the bottom of your feet and send it into Mother Earth. Transmute it into white light. You could either bring it back up or you can leave it there. But as long as you release it from yourself, tell anything and anyone that is not made of you to be gone from you, and you command it to leave so it's not attached to your energy.
Yeah. And a lot of times if you don't tell them to leave, they'll just be like, oh, it's comfortable with me being here, so let's go. We're going to go to his house and hang out. It's like, no, you got to stay here. You definitely have to lay down the ground rules because they'll come hang out at your house for two or three days until they get bored.
Well, I think it's kind of with your work, it's a little different than what I do. I don't go into those paranormal investigations, but I do have friends that do that. And I'm always like, yeah, you guys can do that. I have my thing. You have your thing. But I feel the same with anybody's, you know, energy protection is very important. So you have to find a way that works for you, whether you command it, whether you have boundaries, whether you do it beforehand or afterwards, whether you sage yourself or your home, whatever it is, you have to find what works for you, because there is no wrong and right answer. It's just what feels right for you and your gut. I tell everybody, your gut is your guide to God or to your higher self. And you have to kind of make sure that you listen to that gut, because it doesn't know how to lie. But your heart and your head can get you into big trouble. So that's what you have to listen to. Yeah, so you have to listen to what it is that your guides are, you know, showing you what's right for you. Because everybody has a different, you know, list of items that they will and won't do. So you have to kind of go with that.
Excellent. For those of you who are listening out there, listening to My Darkest Hour Radio, my guest tonight is Bobby Allison. Of course, you guys are listening to LiveParanormal.com and History FM Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We've been talking a little bit about being psychic and being medium and conserving energies and you know, some of the caution that goes into it. So for those of you who are taking notes, remember to write everything down. And you can try works, and like she said, try things that work best for you, because everyone's a little bit different, but you want to be able to conserve that energy and control those things and leave those energies behind when you're going away from a situation like that, whether you're doing an investigation or whether you're having a reading, or sometimes people can even pick up energies just by going to the mall and being around other people. You definitely want to keep yourself in check and keep yourself grounded at all times. Bobby, let's talk a little bit about over the past couple of years, you've been doing a lot of media stuff. And, of course, being on Oprah's April 2016 cover, that's a huge thing right there. Tell us a little bit about some of those experiences. How did you get to that point on being on the cover?
Well, it's all about, I guess, you know how they say you manifest things in life, and you, you know, you go through life sometimes with different people that you identify with. And just a little backstory is, I was molested when I was younger by three different people. And when Oprah came on, I mean, it's okay. I've healed from that, hopefully, all the way. And when Oprah came on TV the first time, I was a teen mom. I had just had a baby when I was 17. I got pregnant when I was 16 on purpose. And I wanted to get out of my house for many reasons. And when I got pregnant and I had to be a stay-at-home mom, Oprah then had her show on TV. And from the day that she came on, I just so identified with her. She was overweight. She talked about her weight. It wasn't something that she hid. She then opened up about her rape and that having a child that passed away. And she just, I just identified with her so much. I always had a connection with her light. Her light kept me living. It kept me thriving. And she shared the most important details and intimate details with the people through the channel of TV. So I just always loved her, always had an affection towards her, and each one of her tears told me a story, every single one of them, and I felt them deeply, and I just always loved her. So moving forward many years, watched her for many years on TV, always, you know, involved in anything that she did and all. When the magazine came out, of course, I got a subscription and started reading that or whatever. And then one year, my subscription just stopped. I didn't know if my credit card might have expired or whatever, so I didn't get to read it that year. But I have a friend that works for a local newspaper, and on her friend's wall was a little blurb about meeting people who were struggling with weight loss or had to lose 10 pounds or more or 100 pounds or more, whatever it may be. I had recently had the lap band removed, and I was going in for the gastric sleeve. I had that done. And she emailed me one night, or she messaged me, and she said, you know, my friend has on his wall, they're looking for something in a magazine, you know, to tell the story about weight loss. She goes, I think this would be really great for you to tell your story. And I'm like, ugh, I really respect this woman, and I didn't want to say no. So I said, oh, okay, send me the details. So she sends me the little thing, and I had to write a little thing about myself, never thinking they were even going to choose my story. It was like a paragraph long. I sent it in. The next day I heard from them. They said, you've got to come to the city in Manhattan and have an interview. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So I asked my friend to come with me. We went in, and they kept saying, oh, you have to wait for Adam to come out. And I was like, okay, who's Adam? So he comes out. He looks up and down. He's like, oh, okay. He says, so. He said, tell me your little story. He says, I heard that you had a vision of Oprah. Now, I only told a couple people the story, but 7 years before I was in the magazine, I had a dream. Do you know Sylvia Brown? I mean, you have to know Sylvia Brown. Who doesn't, right?
Sure.
Psychic medium. Sure. Okay. So I had a dream. Sylvia Brown, I've loved since I'm a little girl. Seen her on TV, watched her on Montel every week. Just loved her. Okay, so I have a vision of her in my dream. She comes to me about 7 years, maybe five, maybe not, I don't want to lie. So maybe like 5 to 6 years before. I had a dream, and it was so real that I called all my friends and told everybody. She came to me in a dream. I was in Oprah's audience, and there was a row of people. We were sitting in the first row, and it was almost like a school stage, and there was curtains on either side. And I see this finger come out from the side, and the finger's going like, come here. So I'm thinking, who the heck is this, and why is she talking to me? So I look to the left, and the person's looking straight ahead. I look to the right. They're looking straight ahead, so she does it again with her finger. She's like, you, come here. But it was just a finger. I didn't know who it was that was calling me over. So I go walking over, and I'm like, oh, my God, Sylvia. And she said, hi, Bobby. And I'm like, what is going on here? Now, Oprah's on the stage, and she's got all these women on there that were involved in some weight loss challenge that she had on. And I was enjoying the show because I was in the audience, and she says to me, remember this day and remember this day always. And she took her fingernail, you know, her long nails, and she pointed it right in my nose, right up to my nose. And she's like, don't forget this day. And I looked in her eyes and I was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, why? What's going on? She goes, you see that stage? I go, yeah. So behind the girls was this big, huge paper cutout. And there was like there was a woman's picture on it, not a cutout, but it was like one of those big, huge banners and had a picture of a woman. So all of a sudden, this woman comes busting out of the paper behind all the girls. She's got long, dark hair. She's thin, beautiful outfit. And she said, you see that woman right there? I said, oh, my God, yeah, she's beautiful. She said, that's you. I said, what? Me? Skinny? I don't think so. And she said, remember this day always. Never forget it. So I just looked up on the stage again, and I saw Oprah and everything, and the woman's walking out, and everybody's clapping, and I got the dream ended. But it was such a visit. It was like it was real to me because it was so, oh, I can't even explain it, but it was so vivid. It was so real. Just like I tell people when they have a visit from their loved ones, it's something that you will every day feel like it happened yesterday. It will never dissipate. Dreams dissipate, but a visit from a soul, that will feel like it never leaves you. It's there. So that's what I felt. It was so real. I started calling my sisters, my friends. I'm like, I had this odd visit from Sylvia, but she's still living, so how could that be? So I told a couple people that. So apparently my friend told her friend and said, oh, you got to let her tell you about her vision. So I tell him about the vision. He just smiled and he laughed. And he said, okay. He said, thanks for coming in. Fill out this paperwork. We'll talk to you, you know, soon. So I left. And a couple of days later, I get an email saying that my story was going to make it inside the magazine. I started crying. I called my sister. I said, I can't do this. I can't show my body in a magazine, never alone talk about myself and talk about the molesting. And my sister said, stop right there. My sister Marion, she said, if you help one person, you did your job. And she said, don't you dare say no. She said, all it takes is for you to help one person. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, okay, I'll say yes. So I go to the shoot. Now, we have this blizzard in New York. Of course, the date that they chose, they're not changing the date. They refuse to change the date. And I was, like, wondering why. I'm like, what's going on? So, like, you just have to come to the studio. This is the address, whatever. Meanwhile, we have a blizzard. Nobody can drive. No trains are running. They send cars for us. So they send us a car. We go in. we spend, I mean, I don't know why anybody would choose to be a model, because it was the craziest day, but they treated us like queens. It was the best experience of my entire life besides the birth of my daughter and my grandchildren. I can't tell you how they treated us. It was hair, it was makeup, it was fans blowing. It was like you were a supermodel. And I had just had surgery like 2 months before that, so I was a little shaky. They treated me beautifully. That was the first day. Then they said we have to come back again the next day. So we were like on this big set. It was like a movie set. Who was placed here and put your hand this way and do this, do that. The next day we come in and everything has changed. They had people dressing you the first day. The second day they wouldn't let us like in this certain area, the studio that they had us in, like these big stage studios. We come in, there was like security guards everywhere. They're like, oh, they're shooting a movie upstairs, so we're not allowed in this area. So we were like, oh, okay. So now we get all hair and makeup again. We go on the set, and all of a sudden, you know, we have this world-renowned photographer, Reuven, and he's there telling everybody what to do, and there was a girl missing because there was, like, I think seven of us. So I'm like, where did she go? Why would she take this opportunity and not show up? It was the oddest thing to me. And I was talking to her the day before. I had a nice conversation. I just couldn't understand. She was standing, like, right next to me, so we were chatting. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, I hope she's okay. All of a sudden, they started blasting Adele music. And all of a sudden, we're standing there. They're taking pictures, and here comes Oprah walking around the side. I nearly passed out. We didn't know. It was all surprise. I was smiling and praising God and Sylvia Brown. I was smiling from ear to ear because they told me that this was going to happen, just not in the way that I saw it. But they told me all these women were going to be honest, and that's exactly what it was. And it was I couldn't stop smiling. Everyone else was crying. Who's falling on the floor? Who's hysterical crying? And she's walking around. She starts getting in, like, to the right of me for the picture for the cover. She was, like, all the way to the right. And she's leaning on one girl's shoulder. Everyone's crying. And I'm just smiling, and I'm going, thank you, God. I cannot believe the person that I admire the most. And here she is. Like, she's here. Her point of her light has reached mine all these years. And I never said to myself, like, I want to meet her, because I never thought that was possible. I never thought about her money or any of that stuff. It was about her light and how she saved me from, you know, all the years of the garbage that I went through and how I identified with her. It was just a beautiful moment for me. And all of a sudden, I turn my head because I just wanted to look at her and smile and be like, oh, my goodness. I turn my head, and she said, hi, Bobby. I lost it. That was it. That was the highlight of my life. I'm like, that's all she had to say was, I go, oh, my God, she knows my name. Like, that's so crazy. And some people think I'm nuts for thinking that, but when you identify with somebody who's really literally kept you living and her tears told my story, her story, and so many other women's story and kept me going and thriving and kept me brave, that's a big thing, you know? And people know what it's like to have a hero or whatever. So it was just amazing. And we still didn't know why she was there. We're thinking, oh, okay, this is cool. And then when we got through with the photo shoot, we had a champagne toast because her birthday was in a couple of days and mine was 2 days after hers. And we had strawberries and this, that, and we're sitting there. And she said, and I want to say something. She said, you're all on the cover. We almost died. We were like, what? Like, it was just like the whole day was just, and they videotaped everything. So there's like video of it on the internet. And then we had the video chat and I just lost it. It was a beautiful experience. And we did a follow-up. So I'm in this past April's edition on the inside. And it's a beautiful experience. Just beautiful.
An incredible story. You know, the premonition and the whole dream and then coming into reality, the whole full circle of this coming together, it is a good story. I mean, just the way you're even telling us the story. The passion and the way you're truly affected by all of this. It's a great story. I mean, that's fantastic, and I'm really glad this happened that way because, like you said, it was something that you saw in a dream, and it comes to reality, and you were told, don't forget this, because this is going to happen. And sure enough, I mean, that's an incredible thing right there.
Then we each got to take individual photos with her and just putting her arm around me and me around, just like, thank you. Just like, just thank you. Thank you for being the light that you are. I don't care what happens in life. This is like the moment that it just shows you that God listens. It shows you that your angels and your guides are there. They got your back. They understand you. You're carrying out and doing the work that you're supposed to do when moments like that happen. And, you know, is that the be all and end all for somebody when they meet somebody that they admire? Maybe it isn't for some people, but for me, it is. And that is, like, I'm thanking her every day for sharing her light and her story and her wisdom. And, you know, and it goes on and on. Then the Dr. Oz thing happened because my girlfriend Laura wrote the book, The Light Between Us, and it just so happened she was doing a paranormal, a cleansing of a house, and that woman happened to be, you know, connected to the show, and then we all got on there, and that was a beautiful, beautiful healing day. Oh, my goodness, the women that they brought that nobody knew and the healings that went on, and for them to even have us was just a wonderful thing. And now we have Power of Three, and we go around and we travel from different states and different cities, and we do sometimes a whole day of teaching and reading and helping to heal people. So hopefully there'll be more cities for that. And then we have Kim Russo. She's part of Power 3 too, and she wrote her book. She's known as the Happy Medium. So we do this thing, and we do it because we want to help people. We want to enlighten souls. We want people to embrace who they are and live your truth. Don't live for anyone else but yourself. And, of course, if you have children under 18, then you do your thing. But as far as enlightening people and showing them and being – I always said this. I want to be the biggest flashlight for people. I want to shine my light so they can walk and then they can find their own path. Then they can learn how to exude their own light and send out their light and just know that they're doing the right thing for their own soul. Because not everybody has the theme down pat. Sometimes it doesn't come out until your 40s, your 50s. You know, you have to go through a lot of stuff to help people to get through their stuff. And it's just a beautiful feeling when you could just reach somebody's soul and their core and help them to heal. I know I'm rambling on. Sorry.
That's absolutely correct. I definitely agree. And you're talking about how you weren't sure and your friend was saying, you know, you got to go on and tell your story if you can reach that one person. And that's what it's all about. People watch those shows and tune in to what's going on. And when they hear your story, they make that connection with you. All of a sudden, they were kind of on the fence about doing something, and then they're saying, well, she's got my story. She overcame this, and she's doing this, and she's going to go this direction. I can do that too. And then that person could tell their story, and maybe they can help two more people, and that whole chain reaction happens. You know, so I think it's very important that we do get out there and show that light and, you know, and give everyone that confidence and the assurance that it's going to be okay, and it gets them going in that direction. You know, you just told me two awesome stories, you know, and your story is probably going to be the same thing. Someone's going to say that about you. It's like, oh, I saw Bobby Allison on the show one time and she was doing this, and it really got to me, and I thought that I can do this too, and it might be an inspiration to somebody. You could be the next Oprah someday for someone. Who knows?
You know what? The funny thing that you say that, because every job that I've ever worked at before I did this full time, they called me Bobby O. Because they said, you're so much like Oprah. Because you know what? She was my mentor without her even knowing. And I followed her light and said, this is the right thing to do. This feels right to me. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to carry out. So the passion that I have for helping people. I am an Aquarius, so a humanitarian, and I want to show people the light, and I want to show them, look, you can come from the pits of hell, and you can be this godly thing, or whatever you want to call it, or a highly enlightened soul. If you believe and you have faith, you can do anything. You could do anything. You could say anything. You could be, as long as your intention is pure, not to hurt anybody, and just to help people and to share your light and lend a helping hand and give of your heart and your soul. That's what it's about. And people in this world need to band together, all together, because it takes unity and believing in one another. It's not about being alone and standing up there and being like, there are some people that, you know, think that, well, I don't want this person because it's about competition. But it's not about that in any aspect of life. Everything is about unity. We all have that light inside of us, and we all breathe the same oxygen. We bleed the same color, and we are souls from the same light. And that's what people need to understand. So when we channel this and we read people and we give these messages of love from their loved ones and we give psychic information, which is past, present, and future, and we bring people together with one thing in common, and that's love. Share the love and the light. And that's what it's about. And if more people would understand that and see that they matter and see that they love themselves fully, they can have that love come to them. Your vibe is your tribe, once again.
That's cool. I like that. I like that thing. For those of you listening out there, you're listening to My Darkest Hour Radio, and my guest tonight is Bobbi Allison. We've been talking about the stuff she's done on social media, obviously, Dr. Oz, and working with Oprah, and influencing other people. It's a very important thing. For those of you who want to go ahead and check out some more about Bobbi, you can go to BobbiAllison.com, and it's BobbiAllison.com, and you read a little bit more about the things she's done. There's different kind of things up there. She's done a few articles and stuff that you might want to check out. There's a question and answer page. You can learn about how to get in contact with her. If you want to get the readings done, of course, there's also the news and the media page shows a lot of the articles and the stuff she's been involved with. Of course, she's done lots of radio shows as well. So let's talk a little bit about I wanted to talk about what you're going to be doing pretty soon, upcoming events. You know, I know. You mentioned a couple of events that you wanted to promote on the show, which is great. So let's go ahead and talk about what's coming up in the near future for you that other people might be able to get involved with.
Okay. Well, I am a big believer in paying it forward and giving back. So it's going to be the fourth year this year, November 9th, we're doing the Ronald McDonald fundraiser. And to date, we've made, I believe it's something like 38 to 40,000 in the past 4 years for them, for the children and their families.
Wow.
We do it at the Ronald McDonald House in Long Island, and we go there. We do gallery groups. There's, you know, cocktails. There's finger foods. I have a bunch of different friends that I have invited. I did it the first year. I got contacted by a client friend of mine, Kim Radovich, Courtney Designs, and she designed the meditation room. The parents had asked, you know, they said, what kind of room do you want? And they asked for a meditation room. So she thought it would be good to have a psychic night and raise some funds to get the money to do this room. So I said, well, why just me when I can, let's get a bunch of people, like a bunch of my friends, to come and do readings and we can raise more money. She said, what a great idea. So she had this vision, and she called me, and then now we're doing it on the fourth year. Now I've invited Kim and Laura, and we have Gina Simone and Joe Peretta. We're all doing gallery groups. Then we have about 25 other readers, astrologers, numerologists, and they do private readings. We do the groups, and the people love it. But we need to raise awareness for this house so that we can get more funds. They're opening up another house on Long Island out in Stony Brook. I think they're breaking ground next in 2018. So we're trying to get as much money, as much awareness as we can. We do not take a dime, never did, never will. And the money goes directly to them. It's a nonprofit organization, as everybody knows. They are housing, I think, 79 families right now. I could be wrong on that number. Sometimes as a medium, we don't always remember those things. But I think they said 79 families they're helping, yeah. And it's a beautiful house. And, you know, they call it a house, but it's more like a building that's two levels, and it goes like across, almost looks like a small elementary school, but new. And it's beautiful inside. The interior decorators give their time. People volunteer. They go there. They feed there. They got a huge cafeteria that's so homey looking, and it's just they have it's just beautiful. And if you look it up on Facebook or you go to their website, if you can't make the event, you can certainly donate. Anything will help. These families come from all over the United States and to this, you know, the hospital right there. And, you know, they go through some hard times and sometimes they can't afford to stay in hotels and things. So they feed them, the families, the children. It's just a beautiful thing. And I'm so happy that Kim Radovich got us, you know, in there. And this is what we do. We love to do it. And we do other things, too. I do. There's the beauty ball that's coming up on October 30th, which is for it's called Mondays at Racine's. It's it's nonprofit also, but there was a woman that started this beauty salons for women with cancer when they have to shave their heads when the hair falls out, and they teach them how to draw on their eyebrows, and they teach them how to shave their head, and they give them eyelashes, and this woman didn't want to come into the salon when other women were there because she felt like she wasn't beautiful. So her friend owned the salon, and she said, well, come in when it's closed on Monday. Well, a lot of salons are closed on Mondays. So that's what the name came from, Mondays at Racine's. So instead of saying, we're going to do a fundraiser for women with cancer, another friend of mine that does, Beverly, that she's the CEO of the Long Island, I can't even get my words out, I'm sorry. I'll get back to her. She came up with this and she said, let's do the beauty ball. So now it's this big, huge event, again, nonprofit, and the tickets, you know, you can go to the website, Mondays at Racine's, and buy the tickets. So people need to come to these things so that we can help give the money to these women or to these, it's really for anybody who has cancer, but mostly the women. There's photographers that have taken these beautiful photos of the women with breast cancer. They've gotten tattoos, and they have, like, the hospitals got involved, so there's, like, tons of vendors, and it's a beautiful night. And, of course, I'll be there doing some readings as well, donating some time. And in the springtime, we're going to do at the Bolton Center on Long Island, me, Kim, and Laura, the Power of Three, are going to do a separate fundraiser for Monday at Racine's to raise more money. This has a lot of seats there, so that'll be something else to look forward to. But it'll all be on the website. And we just became part of Goop as well. Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop. We're now on her list, so that's a wonderful thing. And I read phone readings all around the world because Laura's book sold in, like, 17 countries. And so I've been reading in, like, I read in Nigeria, Australia. I can't even name them all. But, you know, and when Goop hit, people from all over, I guess that I never even heard of it before. They, Laura had, you know, gave a couple of our names, and we had to do a test for them. So we did some readings for them. And it's really a wonderful thing. And I think that the light and the love that I know I work for on the other side provide you with these opportunities so that you have a bigger platform to share the light and the love. It's not really about, oh, I'm on Goop, oh, I was on Dr. Oz, oh, I was on Oprah. It's about the light and sharing the light and getting a bigger platform, because the attention out there is to heal and help people and let them understand just what love is by loving themselves first. And that's really what I do it for. And each one of us might do it for something, a different reason. But when you have that bigger platform, you have to use that to share and to show the love. And I know I keep saying that, but that's really what I feel.
That's awesome, and you're probably right on that with that. You know, on the other side, all that good energy and all that love and positivity that you're trying to express and show into this world is flowing through you and keeping it going, and you're able to pass that on to others, which is a beautiful thing. It helps other people with whatever they're going through, but it gives them that extra charge, that extra push that gets them going, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really a great feeling when, you know, we have a great group of girls and a couple of guys that we have out here. We call it the Witches Brew. We get together, we read each other, but we also do, we all have the same, it's funny, we get together and we always have these, like, little powwows, so to speak, and we talk about different fundraisers, and, you know, we all lend each other time and donating to each other's, you know, organizations as far as what we work with. And it's really a great group of women. And, you know, we really, really have care and compassion. And that's really what we look forward to doing in the future, is getting a bigger platform. And, you know, some things brewing. I am with a production company now. And so there's some things to look forward to as far as you know, being on TV or having a show or whatever. So if that's supposed to happen, it will, and then we'll have a bigger audience. And it's really, you know, I've gotten many blessings, and I really appreciate, you know, even you asking me to be on the show. I think it's a wonderful thing what you do.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, and like I, what I try to do is just try to bring the variety going, and I see people like you out there, and I see the stuff you guys are doing, so I'm like, oh, I got to contact her and bring her on the show so other people can hear about this and get involved with this, because I think it's the work that you guys are doing out there is really very, very important and detrimental to what we're trying to do as a whole, the paranormal community. But, and like I always say, you know, paranormal is such a weird word because it's all normal. We're just kind of new to a lot of us doesn't mean it's para anything, because it is what it is. It's absolutely normal. And that's great. You know, I know there's going to be a lot of people out there going to be like, hey, I heard you on the show and I want to get a reading. What is the best way to get in contact with you to set up private readings? Would it be the website?
Yes, the website is the easiest, and you go through the contact, and that goes directly to my assistant, and then he'll contact you back, and, you know, whatever it is that you choose to do, whether it be a home group, if you're on Long Island, Connecticut, Pennsylvania within reason, some places a little too far to drive, but when I do travel, like I did a group in Florida, Colorado, so I do travel quite often for groups and such, and if anybody's interested in any of that, phone readings are very popular because I can read, you know, from my home or anywhere. And, you know, I do read, like I said, all over the world. So that's the best way. I do have a phone number, which is on the website as well, but that might take a little longer to hear back because it's kind of a phone tag thing. So at least the email goes right to your phone. If you have the email set up on your phone, it's kind of that sometimes it's maybe like you hear back in 7 days, but the appointment can take anywhere to 6 to 8 weeks. And depending on, you know, what month it is, some months are busier than others. It could be a month or two wait. But for the most part, it's kind of flowing. So, yeah, I don't like to be booked too much more than that. People forget, you know, you people like instant gratification. So sometimes I'll push myself and just do a lot in 1 week, and then I need a break for a week. But I try to keep it real, and I'm very honest, and it is what it is, you know, and I try to do the best I can. But I'm human as well, so...
Yeah, and you can't be doing them nonstop on demand because that's just going to drain you and it's just going to keep you down longer. So it's good to do a little bit and take a break and recharge that battery and then do a little bit more. But don't just keep stacking them up. Our psychic on our team, Mark Nelson, he does a lot of readings and stuff, and he'll try to line them up. And I always say, hey, you got to be careful because you're using up all that energy and you're taking on that energy, you're going to wear yourself out, and it happens. And it's funny because he complains about his back sometimes too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what it is? I think that sometimes I have a couple friends that do that. I said, you can't book so many readings back to back. I know you want to do it because you have bills or whatever, but you can't burn out your light because once your light burns out, you're done. You can't do that to yourself, and especially the older we get. Now I'm 50 years old now, and I find that I used to do like 3 to 4 readings a day. Now I only want to do 2, and I can't do it every day because I'm not going to do that to myself. You get sick, you pick up other people's stuff, and then you become vulnerable because it's not just reading the clients. It's the 1,500 messages I get on the inbox. Can you look at this picture? Can you tell me if there's a ghost? Is this my loved one? Who's jumping off the ledge? And I'm not even kidding. Getting people to doctors.
Yeah, I believe it. I get hundreds of them, too, all over the world. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like I try to answer people back, but you have to understand, you're not the only person that's inboxing me. And then I got people texting me, my family, my friends, you know, so it's constant. And I don't mind doing it. I really, truly have an open heart to it, but sometimes I just get so tired. And I go, I just can't do this. I just can't. Like, I just know, you know. Like, sometimes I'll get up and I may have a reading scheduled and I'm just like, I can't do this today. I'm not feeling it. If I can't connect in the proper way, I will never take somebody's money and say, oh, I'm just going to give them anything. No, if I feel like I'm going to compromise that reading in any way, I will not do it. I will say, we have to reschedule. I'm not feeling good. I'll tell them, I just don't feel good today. Or sometimes I get sinus headaches or I wake up with allergies. It's bad. So I think that's Spirit's way of telling me, look, you need a break today. let's reschedule this, and, you know, we'll give you a couple of days, and then we'll reschedule, you know, something like that. So I hear you, because you cannot do this every day, all day, because you will burn out.
Absolutely. And those of you out there who are doing this, keep that in mind. You know, don't burn yourself out, because like you said, when that light goes out, it's out. What are you going to do? Protect yourself, ground yourself, and keep that positive energy flowing. Bobby, we've come to the end of the show, unfortunately. I'm sure we can go on and on and on. With that being said, I would love to have you back on in the future, hopefully part of, you know, beginning of next year. We can kind of continue going on and on, because I think it's very fascinating. A lot of people that are tuning in are very interested in what you're talking about. So like I'm saying, you know, you can look in the chat rooms and stuff, and you can see people are looking for information. So that's going to be great. Thank you so much for spending some time with us and going over all this stuff. And I'm really going to keep pushing the word about your event, the Ronald McDonald House, because I deeply, seriously believe in that. And I've seen the Ronald McDonald House personally work for so many people that I'm a big believer, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help promote your event on my side as well.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a nice time. Have a great night, and God bless everybody.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right,
everybody,
welcome.
That's going to be it for the show. Good night now. Bobby Allison, she's been a great guest tonight, talking about some of her experiences and the things that she has done. And you can just tell by talking with her, she's on this path and going uphill and going to be doing some great things. So we definitely want to keep in contact with her and see what's going on and find out a little bit more, because I could just tell there's going to be big things for her. So we want to be part of that and see what's going on. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to the sponsors of the show, of course, Chili Man Salsa Company, Chilli Man Salsa Company, who is just killing it out there with some of the best paranormally hot salsas in the world. I mean, once you start with them, you just get hooked, and it's just going from there. Also, Paranormal Technologies, otherwise known as P-Tech, Mike and all the guys out there making some great stuff that we're using for the paranormal field in our investigations as well. And, of course, Lizzie Withy's Crafty Creations. That's Lizzie Withy's Crafty Creations. You can find her on Facebook, making custom clothing and stuff, things to wear to protect yourself out there in the paranormal, keeping yourself warm. Whatever it is, she's got great stuff. We use her products as well. So that is going to be it for tonight's show. Thank you. You've been listening to My Darkest Hour Radio with me, Stefan Brigati. Glad to be your host every Thursday. And we're looking forward to seeing you guys next week. So you guys hang in there. If you go out there and you're doing some investigating over the weekend, make sure you investigate safe. All right, you guys? So you guys have a good week. Night now.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you are listening to
My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interactive Media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.